Guys, it's that time of the week again. It's time for a new episode of Girlfriend Material, your gate to Z of all things LGBTQ+. I'm Rosie, I'm here, I'm queer, and I'm in your ears to bring you another jam-packed, exciting episode. So sit back, strap in, pun intended, we're gonna have a good time. Yeah, I'd say yeah, bath. Yeah. Say bath and latte, grass.
You sound like my friends who live in, like, Harrogate. Where they're like,
oh, it's like posh northern.
But yeah, like posh northern.
I'll take it.
Where are you from?
Stoke-on-Trent.
Really? That is not northern.
No, I'm from the Peak District, so in between like sort of like Manchester-y, Sheffield-y, Stokey way. But you know,
we go walking a lot in the Peak District.
Yeah,
it's so cute.
Right, we're here to talk about being gay. Not the Peak District. It's already rolling, so we're going to go with that with the outro.
Oh, great.
Katie Buden.
Budenberg.
Oh my God, I have practiced this as well. Tell me, like, it's German.
It's German.
Yeah. So your family German then?
No. Oh. Well, the ancestors are. I'm actually learning German right now to try and, like, get in touch with my, like, ancestral roots.
Nice.
But I think some bloke moved here, like, 100 years ago and then... Oh, rest is history.
Always takes one, doesn't it?
Just one man. It's always a man.
It's always a man, right. So, tell us a little bit about yourself then. And also, I should probably say, let me rewind that back. Welcome to the first bloody episode of Girlfriend Material, season 2. You're our first guest of it. I'm so excited that I'm already like delving into the episode and I'm like, right, we're here, let's get down to it. But first of all, I do want to say, back for season 2, got some amazing guests lined up, including yourself.
No pressure.
And yeah, it's going to be amazing. Thank you so much for listening in. But Katie, now tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a content creator. I talk about all things self-love, being confident in your body, and being confident just in yourself, like, you know, being unapologetically a goofball. And I also just happen to also be a massive lesbo, so I'm here today to talk about it.
Yeah. That's the best thing when everybody comes into the studio and they're like, I'm just here to talk about being gay.
I love talking about being gay.
Yeah.
I sit and I wait every day for someone to ask me about being gay so I can talk about it.
Well, funnily enough, that is what we're talking about today. We are talking about the things that we used to do before we realised that we were queer versus the things that we actually do now and how they kind of match up. So I want to preface this episode by saying that obviously not everything that we're talking about is going to apply to the people who are listening because it's our personal experience, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, with queer stuff, there have been, over time, signifiers to, you know, look out for in the queer community. And I think it's fascinating.
So fascinating.
There's so much stuff out there, you know, and you look at people these days and you just think, you know, how do we tell that each other is gay, is queer, is bi, is lesbian, is, you know, trans, asexual? And there are so many little nuances that once you're sort of part of the community, you kind of come to understand. So we're breaking it down for people who are in the community, but we're also breaking it down for people, I guess, who are outside of that as well, who want to know. I know.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's a jam-packed one. So I'm going to dive in straight away. And I want to talk a little bit about the things from the past. History. It's a history lesson.
The tea.
The tea. So the tea is flowers. How much do you know about queer flowers and their representations?
Do you know what? I learned a lot about it because I ended up on the side of TikTok where it was like the Taylor Swift conspiracy theorists that were trying to prove that she was gay. So I learned that lavender is really sapphic.
But do you know why it's sapphic?
No.
Would you like me to tell you why it's
sapphic? I would. I actually really would. And so that I can info dump it on someone else later.
Well, lavender is about lavender marriages. Have you heard of these lavender marriages?
No.
So back in the day, if, say for example, my best friend is a gay man. Uh-huh. And I'm a lesbian. Uh-huh. But we both want to pursue our relationships. But society is dictating that we need to be together because society at the time meant that, you know, a man and a woman should be married. So it's a marriage of convenience, a lavender marriage.
Like a beard.
What's a beard?
What? Have you never heard that phrase before?
No, I'm learning so much.
So a boyfriend that you have as a lesbian is like your beard.
Yes, it's the, like... ancient beard.
That is hilarious. You learn something new every day.
Yeah. So basically they would get in a marriage with each other and then they would be able to pursue their own relationships within that under the guise of being a straight couple.
That is so cool. One of my favourite things about queer history is how many times lesbians and gay men have like almost like had a little secret handshake and just, you know, done things for each other.
Yeah. But the purple thing as well is also around violets, because I was looking at this and violets as well are a symbol for lesbians, which I didn't know.
I didn't know this.
But they derive from like fragments of poems from Sappho.
Yes.
I.e. sapphic. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going down that route. In which she's wearing a garland and a crown of violets. And it's part of a poem, and it was also a play, but it was banned, this play was, in Paris. And basically a bunch of lesbians demonstrated by wearing violets in solidarity. And I wonder if that has something to do with like the theme of purple. Because I feel like purple, lavender, violet.
Purple is such a gay colour.
It's quite a gay colour. Pink and purple is
gay. Yeah, yeah. And it's on all the flags now, which I think has just only made it gayer.
Yeah.
Like if I see anybody wearing pink, purple and blue together, I'm like, oh, are you bi?
yeah, literally. So funny. And then obviously we've got the green carnation, which in the 19th century we had Oscar Wilde, who wore a green carnation to symbolise his romantic intentions with other men. And also it has quite a phallic likeness.
Do you say
Green carnation.
Phallic means a penis.
Yeah, but that's what the internet has told me. It has a phallic likeness.
Right, I might not be an expert on penises. But the last time I saw one, it wasn't green.
No. But, you know, I feel like we're not the best people to talk about this.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. You know, in my mind, maybe they are green now. You know,
I don't know.
Moving swiftly on. And then we have the red roses, which are signs of love between men in Greece and Japan. Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
I love that.
That's a nice one. But the most interesting one that I thought was really funny is a trans signifier, which is an IKEA plush toy called, and I'm going to butcher this because it's Swedish, Blahage. You know, it's the A with the little like circle at the
shark?
Top. It's the shark.
Oh
yeah.
My god!
It's the shark.
That is
because
so funny.
The colours apparently are the same as the flag.
Do you know what? I think I've seen this on TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen this. Like,
and I was like, what? You know, it blew my mind.
Does IKEA know? Are they aware?
I don't know. IKEA, if you're listening to this, let us know. But then we obviously have more ones as well. Mm-hmm. We have like a black ring in the ace community, worn on the middle finger, is to signify asexuality. Mm-hmm. You're still learning stuff. And then we have the unspoken ones, which haven't been documented by the internet, but you know, the things like, and I'm looking at your feet. The Doc Martens.
Are you also wearing Doc Martens? We're literally wearing the same
pair
of boots.
Put your foot up. Look at that. It's like, why?
There are things that just become queer.
Yeah. Yeah. Birkenstocks.
Oh my God, yeah.
Blundstones as well.
To be fair, in summer, I wear Birkenstocks. Yeah. And in winter...
Oh, I'm on a lesbian shoe rotation. Yeah, I'm on the Birkenstocks in summer, the Blundstones and the Doc Martens in winter. Like, there's no in between. It's just gay to gay to gay to gay. It's full on gay. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things that we used to do before we realised that we were queer.
I actually prepared a list.
I'm so excited about this.
Do you want me to read them out and you can see which ones you agree with?
Yeah. And I also wonder if some of them are going to be the same.
100%.
Yeah.
I think these are things that I thought only happened to me and then I talked about it and then everyone, like, I've never had an independent experience in my entire life.
But let's, you know, it's very important as well to, like, say, you know, they might not be the same for other people, but I feel like every time when I share these experiences...
At least one.
Okay, so if you're listening at home, then we're going to go through our lists.
Like bingo.
And it's like bingo. So get yourself a notepad or you'll mentally jot down a notepad in your mind and say, you know, tick, and then you can get a, what do they call it, a full house?
Oh yeah, a full house.
If anyone on this podcast has a full house, you need to let us know. You need to let us know how many you scored. Right, Go.
Okay,
should we do one each?
Yeah, then, go on then.
Right, you go.
Number one.
Okay.
Telling people that you have quote unquote girl crushes.
Oh. Okay.
Do you want to know who my girl crush was?
Who was your girl crush?
Cheryl Cole. I had a picture of her in her underwear by the side of my bed.
That is giving.
It's so giving. Funny. She was literally like in this like lingerie set, like posed in a martini glass. And I like cut the picture out of a magazine and like stuck it like, so I went to sleep each night looking at a picture of Cheryl Cole in her underwear.
Okay. So no experience is ever independent. We will go for my first one, which was I had an entire wall of women. I plastered one of the walls. You know those feature walls? Feature walls were popular like in the early 2000s. Like they used to paint one of them like purple or whatever. Like
yes.
I plastered wall to wall women everywhere. There must have been about 50, you know, it was like a pattern of women. Hello. And my mum came in and she was like, you know, most people have men, like boys on their wall. And I was like, most people are boring. No offence to the straight people out there, like, love you, but I did think at one point it was quite boring to be straight.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
But again, didn't even register. Even at that point, she was just like, oh no, well, you know, she must just really love, really be here for the girls.
Yeah, I just really loved, I feel like it's that thing where you see what you want to see. Like, I really, like, believed that I just wanted to be Cheryl Cole. Like, I remember being 5'3" before I grew out of being 5'3", and I was so excited to be 5'3" because Cheryl Cole is 5'3", and I was like, just one step closer to being Cheryl Cole.
Yeah, wow. Right, hit me. What's your second
number two?
One? Yeah,
being obsessed with songs by men about women.
Oh, that's
a good
one.
I was thinking about this the other day when I was listening to music because what is that song where it's like, you grab a girl and you grab a couple more and you all can meet her in the middle of the bar. And I was literally like, oh God,
it's thick. Is it
smelling right? Pass to the
left,
something.
I don't know what it is. Is it Will Smith?
No. I think it's Justin Timberlake.
Oh, fair enough.
It might be. I don't know.
God, we're bad at this, aren't we?
So
but
bad.
The concept of it being that you used to what, like, play the male.
Yeah,
kind
like
of
I would like
role.
Feel like I was the man, and I was like imagining myself like dancing in the club with all these women, and I was like, yeah, you grab a girl, like you grab a man. I just never questioned it. An uptown girl.
Oh yeah,
this whole song about like wanting to be with this woman, and I just be like, I feel this in my bones.
Do you know, I used to dance to Uptown. And do you know what the most embarrassing thing is? I still do.
Billy Joel.
I still do. I put it on and I imagine myself being like, who's gonna be my Uptown girl, you know? Who eats the, what do they say, the white bread, you know, living a white bread world. And I'm like, I'm a whole meal chick, you know, like but you know, for you, I'll get in a loaf.
Oh my God,
I'll get a loaf in.
Who knew?
Right. Mine was on the theme of songs. I did a full-on rendition of Tattoo's All the Things She Said, singing both parts at a school assembly. So, and I actually sang it like that. It was like, all the things she said, running through my head. Like, I full on went for it. And it was silent. It was dead silent.
No!
And everybody just sat there. And the context for anybody listening to this podcast is I grew up in rural Scotland in the 1990s. Nobody had even heard of Tattoo, let alone wanted a rendition of me singing it. And I went on. It's a long song.
It's a really long song.
And it's like 5 minutes long. And obviously the whole controversy for people who are a bit younger listening to this is that Tattoo were supposedly, they were branded, right, as a lesbian couple. So it was like the first sort of like poster lesbian couple out there. And I decided that, you know, they would be the perfect thing to sing at the school talent competition. It was awful. Yeah.
Do you sing? Like, are you good at singing?
You know, I do actually. I used to sing.
I'd love to hear this rendition.
I can't. just because I feel like I don't know if I would get cancelled. I don't know whether people would just stop following me because it was so bad. But yeah, that was probably one of the most gay moments. But yet nobody was like, oh, you know what? That's a bit weird, isn't it? We should probably tell her.
But I feel like there's all these songs that I really resonated with, but I didn't know why I resonated with them or even realised that I did resonate with them. They were just songs that I just particularly felt. Like, you know, that one that it starts like, when I was in the third grade, I knew that I was gay. Loved that song, and I was like, oh gosh, I'm such an ally.
I know. Right, you got some more.
Okay, yeah. Trying not to look at boobs.
Oh, like, interesting.
I would like look at women who were just like either friends or teachers or whatever, and in my head I was like, don't look at her boobs, don't look at her boobs.
Okay, so you weren't, you know, you were like actively like don't do
yeah,
this, don't
like
do that.
It wasn't that I like every single day and every single person I looked at I was thinking that, but I definitely didn't realize that straight women didn't have those thoughts sometimes, that they wanted to like have that intrigue and like look at like other people's like parts. And I feel like in my head there was that like monologue of being like, oh no, I like can't, and I wasn't really panicked about it. Or I feel like straight women just look because they don't feel that like guilt about it. They're just like so unapologetic about it. Yeah, when I always felt so guilty, like
So another one for me, which is a bit of a weird one, but I feel like it's very telling. Barbies. Ken was not allowed in the house.
I don't even think I had a Ken.
Ken did not exist in the world of my Barbies. My Barbies had a lovely, lovely time in a relationship with each other, and my mum was like, should we get you a Ken for Christmas? And I was like, fuck off.
He'll ruin everything.
Yeah, he was like, they don't need him. Can't you see how happy they are in their camper van, their dream house, and their club? Like, they're living their life, you know, they don't need Ken. And like, this went on for years.
This is wild. Are you an only child?
I am an only child,
so
yeah.
I had a sister and we would play Barbies together. So the lesbian fantasies only started coming in when I downloaded The Sims.
Right.
And like I literally distinctly remember the first time that I made myself in The Sims and I got her to marry a woman. And I remember my mum coming in and me just being like, oh yeah, it's like just because like this Sim had like a lot of money. So I just want my Sim to marry her. It's for her money. It's like, it's nothing. It's
She's a sugar mum. she got the bag. The last one for me was fixing things. I felt like I was quite handy as a child.
I wouldn't say I was handy, but I definitely was that girl that like they'd be like, oh, we need some boys to move this chair, and I'd be like, get out of the I'm a boy, I'll do it, like I'm stronger than these men, like fight me.
Yeah, I love that. It's that energy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's just
it,
I think you don't, it doesn't like clock. But I mean, let's talk a little bit about energy, right? Because this is what, you know, when we had a chat about what we wanted to talk about on this podcast, we were saying that, you know, there are sort of external signifiers and they're like internal signifiers that you can kind of tell if somebody's queer or not. And one of the things that we said is like this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to explore it because, you know, I talk about it all the time with my queer friends. I was like, just queer women energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to describe it. Can you have a stab at it?
Do you know what? The way that I would describe it, and I might be wrong, is this like unapologeticness. Because I, especially when I compare the energies that I give off, before I came out and while I was still trying to, how do you phrase this, attract a male mate, I would focus a lot of my energy being on like what men find attractive, and it very much whittled me down. Like my energy was smaller, and a lot of the energies I put out for the purposes of impressing men, when I feel like the energy I put out now is to impress myself. It's not it didn't switch. It wasn't like, oh, I need to now put energy out to like impress women. It was more like women want that meaningful relationship where they want to get to know who you are, so like be authentically you and then you'll attract your like tribe. I feel like I'm generalizing a lot right now. It's probably a straight person listening to this, like,
no, but I think
getting mad.
I think, you know, there's a difference, isn't there, like in that energy of of what you kind of put out if you're looking to attract a man. Because I don't know, like, have you had relationships with guys before? Yeah, same. I had a boyfriend for a couple of years when I was like 16, and I think about the ways that I sort of you know used that energy and used like the way that I was to kind of attract him. And it was very much like, yeah, making myself smaller, making myself more feminine, and not having that unapologetic sort of fearless, like confident outlook that I do now.
Yeah, you put it a lot better than me.
No, but it's building on it though, isn't it? I used to do like stand up, and I remember having a chat with like one of my friends who is a stand up, and she was saying that she thought it was really brave that I would stand in a room and talk about like my bowel condition, basically. So I have a lot of stories about like, you know, dates going wrong, like, and before I was on medication and stuff, like I used to eat and drink a lot of stuff that didn't agree with me. Obviously you can understand where that goes. So a lot of the stuff that I was sort of talking about was that, and I just, it didn't even register to me, like, because I wasn't trying to like attract a man, and I was like, oh, you know what, I'm a woman and I shouldn't talk about like, you know, shitting myself. Like, I'm like, every woman like talks about this, like, yes, you know, and every woman has gone through this. So it's like, if I'm trying to attract a woman, this is awful. If I'm trying to attract a woman, I'll tell her that I've, you know, had an accident.
But honestly, it is that like womanhood thing where you go on dates with women and you end up talking about stuff like that, because
yeah,
that's what a lot of women have in common. Like, I will be chatting about my periods and that kind of thing. And it's like things that lots and lots of women can relate to, understand. You all have that like common ground.
Yeah. So how do you think then, like, talking about signifiers and stuff, because obviously we're talking about we're generalizing work with genders and stuff, but two women having a chat about, you know, oh, you know, periods and this and that, like, how do you kind of tell then if another woman is into you, if you're already sort of on that friendly level? Like, is there something that you...
I'm the wrong person to ask. I can never tell. I literally need it, like, unless I meet someone in like a dating, like, what's the word, like, if I meet them on like a dating site, like the mood is already set. Like, you're meeting for a date. I have literally never turned any of my like homoerotic friendships into actual relationships.
Both quite feminine presenting,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So if we are talking maybe less so about like recognizing from other people, but is how do you signify that you're queer? Like, when you know, when we're both dressed like this, because, you know, we could go down the street,
yeah,
we could go shopping right now, we could up at Sticks at Spotify and we could go to Oxford Street, and people would be like, you know, friends,
yeah,
but we could be in a relationship with each other, but like nobody would ever guess because we are dressed the way we are. So what do you think like signifies that you're gay?
I think to other queer women, the multiple piercings.
Oh, the piercings.
Yeah, the piercings are such a huge thing.
I literally have just got my fourth ear piercing done.
I'm honestly tempted to get my nose done so that women can tell that I'm gay.
Yeah. I mean, not that's not me. Like,
Yeah, do it.
No, but I love piercings so much that I'm like, just go for it.
I love anything that's like a form of like self-expression in that way.
Mm.
I also think that the way I dress is a bit too kooky for like your usual straight woman. I think a lot of people can look at my wardrobe and it's that like hyper femme vibe. And I think that then signifies to a lot of queer women, yeah, she's queer.
What do you mean by that though? Like, do you think it's just like having a bit of an edge on your wardrobe, would you say? Like, that's a signifier of being queer?
I am about as edgy as a circle, but I don't know. I very much wear whatever I want to. When I compare my wardrobe to like what I used to wear, back in the day that I dated men, it was very plain. It was just kind of like Topshop's basic range. Like, it was, you know, like zero personality, like zero fun colors, patterns, that kind of thing. And I think after coming out, like, a lot of my wardrobe just clashes with each other because everything is like pink and patterned and whatever. I just wear whatever I fancy and whatever I think's like fun.
It's coming back to that like unapologetic sort of thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
I love that. I mean, I feel like maybe my leg is like very an indication of me, because it's very like, we've got the pink, we've got the spandex, but then we've got the heavy boot.
Oh yeah.
So if I'm wanting to feel a little bit more queer, I will shove on a chunky boot. I'll shove on something that kind of gives a little bit of masculine energy in a way, which I don't know whether that's a sort of conscious thing, but I feel like a lot of queer women do that, you
it's
know,
like playing around with gender and what's expected of you.
Yeah,
I feel like when I was expected to dress feminine, I hated it. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of people have those arguments with your parents when you're younger. They want you to wear a dress, you don't want to wear the dress.
You know, I have a story about this. So when I graduated uni in, I think it was 2015 that I left uni, and we all went to my graduation, and at the time I was wearing like dungarees. I loved these dungarees and I really wanted to wear them for my graduation. No shame to like my parents, but they were like, oh, you can't do that. You've got to put a dress on, you know. And I hate the graduation pictures because I'm in this dress and I don't really wear dresses anymore. I'm a jumpsuit girly. Like, I like to dress up, but I'm a suit, I'm a jumpsuit, and I'm a trousers girly. I don't own any skirts, don't really do dresses. And I feel like that is something that I, you know, that's what I wanted. And that in itself is quite like queer as well.
Yes.
I feel like the kids who are just like, oh, you know, like, can I wear trousers like when I'm wearing skirts? It's like, you're already a bit of a rule breaker, right?
Yes, 100%.
Maybe that's a signifier as well, a bit of a rule breaker.
Anyone that's like playing around with like what's expected of you to wear.
Or tattoos and stuff like that. I feel like that's quite a queer signifier.
Yeah, tattoos is a huge one. Yeah, it's all the, like, you know, like having a collection of small independent tattoos. That's so queer.
Yes. I'm just like laughing because I'm literally about to go and like get all of mine done in my diary. I'm just like, oh, I'll just get one sorted out. A bit about like pushing through those experiences that we've had like with boyfriends and like with men and things like that. How much like of energy, you know, do you think is relevant to that?
God, I just don't think I was myself at all. Like, I don't think my energy, I was giving out nothing. Like, I feel like I would give out what they wanted me to. I actually remember this one time, I had this like massive crush on this guy. Well, at the time I thought I had a crush on him, but I think now it was more kind of infatuation, and like, it was a very confusing time for me. But he listened to Radio 4.
Ooh.
And then not just Radio 4, but like the weird show that they have, no offense to anyone who listens to it, but they have this show at like midnight, 1 a.m. that like they do all this weird like techno, like experimental stuff, and he loved it. So I decided that I also needed to love it. And I also, like, anyone who knows me knows that I love to be in bed by 10, 10:30. There's nothing I respect more about there's nothing I respect more than the 9 hours of sleep that I have per night.
You have 9 hours of sleep.
I can't focus. I can't live without it.
Oh, wow.
I can't thrive.
Wow, you would not like to be in my body right now.
Oh, God. That's so hope. No, I can't even consider it. Like, I'd have to nap. I'm a tired girly.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I would stay up and, like, listen to this show with him, and, like, all of my energy was focused on, like, being what, like, I thought that he wanted me to be. So, like, practically turn myself into this vampire, like, staying up each night to listen to this weird experimental techno. And, oh, God, like, where was I? Like, where, like, was the me that was inside where I was just in the library with this boy?
But have you... That's an interesting concept, because I feel like a lot of people do try to impress the people that they have crushes on and that they're dating. But would you say that there's less of that now that you've come out and you're not trying so much to impress somebody of like the same gender as you?
It would honestly be such a turn off if somebody was trying to do that to me. So I feel like I would never try and do that. Obviously, it's like, oh, I like listening to this artist. So you go away and you're like, oh, okay, I'll give them a listen and I'll like give them my opinion. But I'm not gonna stay up till 2 a.m. listening to experimental techno again. Like, I want people to be themselves. And I want to like them for them. And I want people to like me for me, rather than it being like, I don't know, just trying to become somebody else to like impress someone.
Yeah. And I feel like that is a very broad, you know, that's an experience that's across the queer spectrum. Because I feel like we do try to fit ourselves in certain boxes, like to sort of fit in. I have a similar story when I was like dating a boy, and he was very into like Star Wars and AC/DC. Two things that I'm not into at all, but I was for like that year and a half or whatever. Oh, it's my kombucha. I told you it'd happen. It's all the talking and then the gas. Yeah, so I was like trying to fit into this box of that, because at the time it was at college and all of the girls that I knew were sort of into that because their boyfriends were into it. It was like, oh, we're all going to see this Star Wars film, or we're all, you know, we're all going to go around and we're going to do this movie marathon and we're all going to listen to this. And it was like we'd all sort of morphed into what our boyfriends wanted us to be, which is ridiculous because we all were individual women and we all had, you know, personalities. But that's what we did. And I see it quite a lot sometimes, you know, with women, and it's like, oh, my boyfriend or, you know, my husband or whatever really likes this, so it's like they're going along with it. And I don't want to generalize or stereotype at all, but I do feel like there's more of that sort of amalgamation, like coming together if you're in a hetero relationship, rather than this unapologetic sort of, you know, you've gone through, you know, this discovery, the self-discovery, and it's like you feel like it's maybe a bit more respecting in the queer community of like, you're an individual and so am I.
I don't know where it comes from for women who are straight, because I feel like the reason that I was so bendable was because I didn't trust my own instincts. I felt like I had to become somebody else because what was going on in my head didn't make sense to me, and it didn't align with what my friends were saying about their dating experiences. You know, they would genuinely want to kiss men and they genuinely want to be with them, and they just like have all these thoughts and feelings that I was like, oh, like honestly with like a notepad trying to like write it down in my head and like learn what they were doing so I could like emulate that behavior and basically repeat it back to them so I could like fit in almost like a camouflage. So I feel like the reason that I then became so morphable was because I was like, that must be the right thing to do, because I don't know. It's like, you know, being an alien and just being on planet Earth and then looking at, you know, how different humans are interacting and being like, okay, well, they use this as a greeting, so I'm going to use this as a greeting.
A greeting.
Yeah.
But it's true. Yeah.
So I don't know where it comes from. I'd honestly be really interested to find out, but I feel like that's definitely where it came from for me, because I was just like, nobody must find out the secret thoughts that we're having in my internet history that has Am I Gay quiz hidden in there.
I know the amount of times that I got yes back and had a panic.
I actually never got a yes back.
Really?
No, because I would do all my answers as if, like, you know,
absolutely not.
Do you look at women? No, I told myself I'm not allowed to look at boobs.
That's so funny. So we've identified basically what we think queer energy is, what we think the signifiers are, if you know, you might be interested in somebody else in the queer community. And we've touched on it, but we touched on, like, if you're a femme, you know, some of the things that you can do.
Sometimes you do just have to be a bit more forward, though. I feel like when I have wanted women to know that I am interested in women, you just have to mention that, oh, my ex-girlfriend.
Yep.
Girlfriend. Ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, you have to like slide it in. You just have to be a bit more forward about it.
All the time. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime there's a joke about anything, just be like, yeah, I love that too, because I love women. You just got to do
accurate.
It. I know. It's painful, isn't it?
Yeah, me too.
Girls. So, Katie, have you done your homework about the song?
Yeah, I did.
Right. So to give context to this, for anybody who's listening to this going, oh, what are you on about, Rosie? Why are you asking for a song to round off this episode? On Spotify, Girl From Material have a fantastic confidence and joyous playlist for 2024, and you can follow it. The link will be in the show notes below, and I'll also post it on social media. But essentially, we're building a collection of 2024 mega mix amazing songs that you can listen to and you can put it on, and if you're having, you know, a bit of a shitty day, you can raise yourself back up with it. So that being said, what's your song of choice and why have you picked it?
I'm nervous now that this doesn't fit the brief, but
okay.
I feel like I feel most uplifted and like empowered when I'm like feeling a bit of like female rage.
Okay.
Like I just love that, like, I don't know, feeling like, oh, I'm a woman, but I can do this, and society expects differently of me that I can do. So I picked Taylor Swift, The Man.
Oh, that is a good
song. I just feel like
song.
Every time it comes in my headphones, I'm like walking along and I'm like, oh, yes. I can be mad if I want to. Like, oh.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
So we'll add it to the playlist.
I feel honoured.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. I'm already listening to it. Yeah.
I feel nervous. I feel like, you know, when you recommend like a restaurant to a friend and then they say they're going to eat there and I'm like literally like refreshing WhatsApp waiting for their like review because I'm so nervous that they hated this restaurant and therefore now hate me.
I mean, you're recommending Taylor Swift.
Yeah, true. Yeah. It's not controversial.
It's fine. Not recommending some like 2 out of 5 hygiene rating, you know, kebab shop, are you?
Makes me nervous.
Yeah, you'll be fine. So, what's going on for Katie then? What's coming up in 2024? What are your plans for 2024?
Thriving and vibing. Yeah, do you know what? I'm one of these people who always makes these like big massive plans because in that moment I feel so inspired and have so much energy, and then it gets to the next week and I'm like, I'm so fatigued and burnt out. So I'm just trying to take it like month by month this year. We're on like self-care duties.
Nice. Well, that's good. We need that for 2024. Well, thank you so much for joining Girlfriend Material. Hope you've had a fun recording.
Thanks for having me.
How can people find you online? You're on Instagram and TikTok?
I am on Instagram and TikTok. Instagram is more self-love content. TikTok, I do my garden and
I love that.
And talk about cat rescue.
I love that. I'm so really here funny. For it. So here for it.
You know that sound that's like, people keep trying to figure me out and I just let them.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm bad at quoting things.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, go and follow Katie, go and check out what you're doing, and also make sure that you check out Girlfriend Material. So make sure that you are following the podcast, make sure that you give it a rating, and also big shout out to the Patreon that we have, which is an exclusive episode each week where we are basically breaking down a certain topic. So you can go, and I will also link that on the show notes below, and yeah, you get extra Girlfriend Material content. Why would you not want that? Go check it out, we love it. Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'll see you soon, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Girlfriend Material. You might be sad that the podcast is over for this week. I know I am. But I'll be back at the same time next week with another juicy guest just for your ears. In the meantime, though, if you liked this episode, make sure you subscribe and share it with someone who you think might also enjoy listening. Sharing is caring, guys. Girlfriend Material is hosted by myself at Rosie Turner Daily, so go ahead and follow me on Instagram and TikTok for more content with support from the lovely Poppy. Just for you, we love you and we'll see you soon.